Welcome back to another episode of the Main Quest podcast. Of course, this is the number one retro gaming podcast that put the hard in rock hard. As always, I am your host, Keith. Make sure you're following the show on social media. That way you can keep up with what's going on with the show. You can catch what I'm playing, stuff that's going to be coming up. And also that way you can play along with the show, and you can also tell me how wrong I am about the video games that I'm covering here. And all that stuff can be found at linktr.ee/mainquestpod. And that Linktree link is also conveniently placed in the show notes for your hungry little fingers or mouse pointer, however you're listening to this. Now, with all of that out of the way, it's, of course, my pleasure to welcome back the Main Quest returning champion of guests. It's a little unfair, to be honest, how many times he's been on the show, but you're going to have to deal with it. It's my brother, Paul.
Howdy, howdy.
What has been going on? It's been, well, at this point, a couple months since you've been on, but longer, considering how early I record these episodes.
Not much. Just living the dream, so to speak. Kind of video gaming has kind of taken a backseat to other things that I've been getting into. I invested in some computer peripheral drawing devices, and I've been drawing again, which has been, it's been more than 20 years since I've really put myself into doing art. So I've been doing that. I've been collecting. I'm on a mission to collect every single Garbage Pail Kid that has the name Paul in it. So I'm in the middle of doing that. There's, I think I'm three very rare cards away from a complete collection. Two of them I can't find at all, and one of them I don't want to spend money on, unfortunately. But so there's that, and I'm kind of back on YouTube actually as of recently. So
what?
Yeah, I
just watching it, or you're uploading stuff?
I have a brand new YouTube channel, and it's called Oofda, and it is the Wisconsin Dash Cam channel. So as of right now, there's one video, because I am one person. It's not like the other dash cam channels that just take videos from all over the place and can upload something new every day. It's just me, just one person. So you're probably going to get one or two uploads a month, but yeah, it's all my car. I've recently upgraded my camera to a very nice Rexing, kind of expensive dash cam, and it'll record when the car is not on, which is a change for me. And I also have a rear camera as well. So I'm all in. I get to the point where I was just driving around, you know, especially this year, and just seeing so much bullshit. I'm like, I got to put this stuff somewhere. I can't just keep it on my micro SD card to myself. I want everybody to see how shitty everybody drives around here. So yeah, Oofda, Wisconsin Dash Cam channel on YouTube. So that's everything I've pretty much been up to.
So are you just, I guess I'm just not in the zeitgeist of dash cam channels. I didn't even know that was a thing. So are you just uploading like your commutes and stuff?
I am uploading anything where there is a questionable driver. So not all commutes. It's just like the first video, and the only video right now that is up there is just a bunch of snippets. I don't even know how long it is. It's probably about 8-9 minutes long. And so it's just, like people cutting me off, people making sudden lane changes, people driving 100 miles an hour down the freeway and almost clipping your front fender. I got one guy driving on the actual shoulder of the expressway because he couldn't get around anybody. So. And one of the reasons I had to upgrade my dash cam was because it was 6 years old and it was starting to get faulty. It wasn't finishing recordings that were less than 10 minutes. And I had some pretty good shit on there on the shorter, on the shorter video clips that I could not view. And I went through Rexing to get some help, and we tried everything under the sun to get those clips playable. And they said, well, looks like you're going to need a new dash cam, and, you know, we'll give you a hefty discount. And I'm like, fuck yeah, you know, why not? So that's what it is. And like I said, I think it's been up for a week and a half now. And I've gotten a couple new subscribers here and there. So it's without absolutely any, you know, promotion, unlike, you know, the potation rotation stuff. So, yeah, I've gotten like about 300 views in a week without doing anything, but just throwing it up there, and there it is. So it's kind of, it's a thing. I mean, it's popular on, there's multiple subreddits on Reddit dedicated to dash cams. There's plenty of YouTube channels, but there's less YouTube channels of dash cam videos than there are YouTube channels of gamers. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I'm kind of like in a sweet little genre where, you know, I could do pretty good, as far as getting some views and some subscribers, without doing anything. So.
Yeah. That is an endless treasure trove of content, if that's what you're doing, because holy shit, do people drive like garbage around here? I mean, I've got a dash cam too. I bought my dash cam when I just got my new car, because I just do not trust anybody. And like some of the shit that I've seen. Well, the thing too about having a dash cam, it makes you a much more patient, much more careful driver.
Right.
Knowing that you're also technically being watched.
Right.
So just the amount of stupid shit that I see, like, I think it might have been, was it last week or 2 weeks ago? Where was I going? I guess it doesn't matter. But I was driving up like a relatively busy highway, and there was like some kind of like upper class homes on the side of the streets. And the speed limit's like 45 or something, but this guy was going like 30. And I didn't want to get over because I had to be in that lane and turn relatively soon. So I didn't want to get over and go around. So I was like, well, I'll just hang out or whatever. And they're slowly like drifting in and out of the lane. And then within like maybe a minute of me like finally getting behind them, they suddenly just veered off, like popped the curb and went onto this person's lawn. And I'm like, and I just kept driving. I'm like, well, whatever. I'm not going to fucking stop. Like, I don't care. I was like, maybe somebody else can stop and drive,
right,
and see what the fuck is up. But you don't know who has guns and who's on fucking PCP or whatever the fuck. Like, I'm not stopping to check this dude out,
right,
or girl or whatever. So yeah, I just kept driving, but I'm just like, okay.
Right.
And yeah, it's one of those things where I'm like, yeah, I know I could probably give you that stuff and you can upload it on your channel.
Well, I do advertise that, you know, it's not only Wisconsin, but you know, I will take any Midwest stuff, and there is some verbiage in the about of the channel that states that if you've got any dash cam clips, just shoot me an email. And I'm using the potation rotation email just because I don't want, if this thing takes off, I don't want anybody bombarding my personal email, and I don't want to make a new one. So
I was also going to say, like, doesn't that creep you out? Cause like people could probably figure out where you live depending on.
Well, they can. And the reason too is especially in, if there's anything that happens, especially around the area here immediately where we reside, if I upload enough and it's the same neighborhood all the time, the new camera does actually give out your GPS coordinates at the bottom. I don't know if yours does as well. There's a lot of cameras that do. So, which is kind of nice, because it actually, when I'm watching some of these videos on YouTube, I'll try to guess where somebody is if they don't say where the incident's occurring. And I'll be like, okay, is it this place? Is it this place? And then I'll try to see if I can figure it out. And then I'll search the GPS coordinates to see if I was right or wrong. I'm thinking I could make a game out of it, like a drinking game. Maybe. But anyway, so yes, mine does. Plus mine also records my speed. So I've been finding that I've been a little bit more patient on the roads anyway. I'd hate to upload something where I'm driving like an ass and I catch another ass. But I will also, I don't drive like an ass all the time. If I'm in a hurry, I will, a little bit, like maybe 10 over, but I don't, man, I don't even come to a fraction close to what all these other people on the roads are doing, as far as their shit driving. But you know, I do also want to put myself on there. If I, like, I blew a stop sign the other day with my old camera, and unfortunately it was in a clip that was less than 10 minutes long. And I planned on uploading it, like saying, you know, I was the asshole today. I cut somebody off because I ran a stop sign. But unfortunately, I don't have that clip. So it's never going to see
how convenient.
I know, right? So that was another reason. I keep myself in check and I hold myself responsible. And if I'm going to be uploading content onto YouTube of other pieces of shit driving cars, I'm going to put the times up there that I'm driving like a piece of shit. So, but most of the time, it's not on purpose. I don't drive like a piece of shit on purpose at all. If it is, it's just an accident and it's rare. But yeah.
Well, I was going to mention that also, I mean, of the time of this recording, the Game Boy and Game Boy Advance stuff dropped on Nintendo Switch Online. And the last time you were on was to talk about Mario Land. Have you dipped into that since you were last on the show?
Well, let me tell you something, brother. I am supposed to be playing Hogwarts Legacy. I actually paid for the like deluxe edition and got it like a couple days early. By the time I was able to start downloading it on my Steam Deck is when the Direct came out from Nintendo, and they dropped the goods on the Game Boy and the Game Boy Advance. So unfortunately for Hogwarts Legacy, I've been stuck playing Game Boy and Game Boy Advance games on my Switch. But I am about to head to Colorado for work for about a week, and I plan on taking my Steam Deck with me and getting started on Hogwarts Legacy finally. So
I have not been playing Hogwarts Legacy, but Kayla has. And man, that is a shock to the system to see somebody who never plays video games play an open world RPG. Mm-hmm.
It's gotten some pretty good reviews. It's actually surprised a lot of people. So I think if there, I have a feeling this is that type of game where if you're not much of a gamer, but you're a huge Harry Potter fan, you're probably going to really want to get into it, and you probably will get into it. So
yeah, I'm trying my best not to be like a backseat gamer or anything like that. Like periodically I'll chime in and be like, you might want to figure out how to, you know, get yourself some health or something like that, because you're going to be fucked if you fight somebody, you know?
Yeah.
But other than that, like, it's just, I was watching her fight the first boss. I was trying not to burst a blood vessel because the entire time, she cannot figure out how to move her character and the camera in conjunction with each other. Mm-hmm. So the entire time she's like running into a wall, but she also can't see the wall because the camera's like at a low angle facing up towards the sky towards her character. And the entire time the boss is just taking swings at her. So it's like,
that's hilarious.
I've just kind of like, you know what? She'll figure it out. She did beat that boss, though.
Oh, nice.
She did beat that boss. Did not die. So, yeah, that's just kind of been a shock to the system. But a game that I played recently and completed for the, I think it's just called, like, the Review Crew on the Retro Hangover Discord. Shout out to Retro Hangover. Was Doki Doki Literature Club.
What?
I can't really talk about this game without spoiling it. So at this point, if you don't want to be spoiled for Doki Doki Literature Club, skip ahead until you hear music for Chuck Rock. We'll see you on the other side.
What the
Doki Doki Literature Club is a dating sim, but it is only a facade of a dating sim. I don't know how.
Is that the game? Is that the game that I think I heard you playing that has nothing but like soft music playing or something?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
It's I don't know how familiar you are with dating simulation games.
No, none.
No. Okay. So basically, the premise of the game is your main character is best friends with this girl named, I believe the girl's name is Sayori. I think that's one of the four.
Okay.
And she kind of pressures you into joining this after-school book club called the Doki Doki Literature Club. And once you get there, you find out there's some other three waifus there. And you're like, okay, well, so then you start to kind of pick who you like. You know, you kind of get to know each of their personalities. I, of course, went with the big-tittied goth chick, because why wouldn't you go for the big-tittied goth chick?
Right.
So just on, like, so dating sims have typically a ton of options. There's not only a ton of options, like, dialogue-wise, but also gameplay-wise. Like, there's some different mechanics at hand that go into dating any which woman that you want to date, right?
Okay.
This one, as far as dating sims go, is incredibly bare bones. Like, the dialogue is okay, but there is almost, like, no choice when it comes to... There's, like, no dialogue trees, and there's really no dating mechanics except for these poems that you write. You write poems to the girls. And that's it. And eventually, the game completely falls off a cliff and goes into creepypasta horror territory.
Okay.
And it's one of those games where it's the whole trope of this video game is cursed or this video game is haunted, like the Majora's Mask Ben Drowned creepypasta thing or the Slender Man stuff, things like that. And, yeah, man, growing up, and I said this in my review, for Retro Hangover, we were always told not to believe everything we see on the internet, right? Or see or read or whatever. And I know, like, nowadays, those lines are very much blurred. I feel like when creepypasta games were a new thing, this probably could have been a very good game, but it just seems very generic compared to, like, a lot of the other stuff. Like, I played Inscription just a couple months ago for the first time, and that, while not so much a trope of, like, creepypasta stuff, does break the fourth wall a lot better than Doki Doki Literature Club. And I mean, at first, to give the game credit, that the first time I realized that there was something very suspicious going on with this game is I wanted to save the game because I wasn't sure. It's dating games have a lot of dialogue in it. I mean, you're going to be reading dialogue most of the time. And I wanted to make sure I saved it in a spot in which I didn't have to reread a bunch of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I went manually saved, and normally I would just turn my Xbox off and that would be the end of it. But I was like, well, let me just completely exit out of the game, just to be sure. So I went to go exit out of the game, and when I did, all of a sudden, like, a boot menu came up, and it booted me up to somebody's PC screen with, like, the whole, like, you know, hit enter to log in to your desktop, and I did that, and I'm like, what the fuck is happening with this game? Like, and that was kind of like a shock to the system, because it went from that nice, cutesy, happy music that you've been hearing for, like, an hour or so, mm-hmm. you know, reading dialogue from all these cute girls, to a very stark contrast of this cold, emotionless, you know, desktop screen that's got nothing on it, really. And you can, like, go through files and stuff and pictures and music and stuff like that on this person's desktop that relates to Doki Doki Literature, like, the actual game. But, like, at the end of the game, like, that stuff, it plays a role, but not as much as I thought it would have been. So, you know, I went into this cold, you know, and when I got to that point where I got to this desktop, I think out loud, I was like, what the fuck? what is going on? And then it just kind of, I don't know. Yeah, I guess it was a little disappointing towards the end there, because I was like, well, this is just kind of like every one of these other creepypasta games that have come out in the past 10 years. But
gotcha.
I don't know. I didn't hate it, but I didn't like it as much as I thought I was going to. Honestly, I thought it was just going to be a dating sim. I was like, it's probably just going to be some really cheesy dating sim with, you know, cute waifus or whatever, and just have a really good time. And it turned out to, I don't know, be just an okay time, I guess.
Well, I guess a dating sim is something that I might have to look into. I didn't know that that was such a thing, to be honest with you. So
I would recommend Dream Daddy. Dream Daddy's pretty good. And
that just sounds wrong.
I mean, it's so well written. As far as like dating sim mechanics, it's not that heavy into that stuff. It's mostly dialogue with that one. Mm-hmm. If you want something with heavier like dating sim mechanics, may I recommend Boyfriend Dungeon?
Boyfriend Dungeon.
Yeah, I think I've mentioned Boyfriend Dungeon a couple times on the show in the past. Hmm. But if you want to date a cat, you can date a cat if you want. Well, I don't let me know. I don't care. I don't know what you guys do when the lights are off, but.
Interesting.
Is that where the name Pocket Pussy comes from?
Maybe. Maybe. I don't want to know. I'm not going to Google it.
Well, I feel like we've been meandering long enough at this point. Why don't we get into the game we're talking about today?
Okay.
Today, we played Chuck Rock. So, my personal history with this game is kind of hazy, so I think I'll just let you go first in hopes that I can shake some dust off. So, what's your personal history with Chuck Rock?
Well, it took me playing the game again to realize what my history was, because I could not remember it for the life of me. But it was like one of those things where, you know, you get yourself refamiliarized with something from your past and it starts unlocking all these memories. So I'm going back to what, like 91 or something. And that was, we had just, moved to Whitefish Bay, I think. And I know that because like most games that I ended up buying, and most of them ended up being used when I bought them, started out as rentals. And so I remember specifically playing this game with my friend TJ. We rented it, and we rented the Genesis version. And I know that it's been out for, I think the Super Nintendo's got a version, and the Sega CD, I think, has a version too.
It was pretty much ported to everything that was out at that time. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, So we rented it, and I don't think we even got past the first level. Well, I mean, TJ's not, he's not known to be a gamer whatsoever, not even casual, but, so that's comes as no surprise, but I couldn't, I don't know, maybe, oh no, I did get to the second level. I do remember getting to the second level over the initial back then. And I think you only had like 3 days to rent a video game or something like that, or 3 nights or something. And that was pretty much it as far as my initial interaction with the game until I bought a used copy. And I wasn't I was more of a SNES person than a Genesis. So I could have probably thought, oh yeah, I'll get the SNES version used, but I stuck with the Genesis version and bought it used, probably from, you know, could have been Blockbuster, could have been Funko Land, that I don't remember, but, played it and totally got frustrated, with it. And at the time, my friend who was formerly known as John, joined me in playing it. We didn't like get anywhere, really. I mean, I was frustrated. And so when I was replaying the game for the show, I realized as I went through the levels, I'm like, well, I remember these levels though. And I'm pretty sure that I used a game genie eventually to beat the game, you know, with invincibility, probably. I mean, that's all you really need is invincibility. And then it made me realize that I think the memories of this game were more on the comedic aspect and look of the game, especially how similar it almost feels to like a Bonk game, in looks and graphics, that was like my fond memory of it. I completely forgot that I absolutely hated the gameplay itself. So yeah, that's my history. I didn't steal it or anything like that from a store. So yeah, that's the history in a nutshell. It's not anything very memorable at all. So
yeah, I think like a lot of I think you even mentioned in Bonk, just the way the game look, how the art direction was stylized in that way. Similar to what you said, I think I was attracted to it for that reason, because it was just very cartoony, very. But like I remember playing this game, and I think this might have been like one of the rare games mom probably played with me. But other than that, like, yeah, I only remember this game because of Chuck Rock, like because the one, the name, and two, the way he looks, essentially, which I mean, there's not a lot to go on, but yeah, I don't really remember. Well, we'll get into it when we talk about the gameplay. There were some memories that were jarred loose when I was playing the game, none of them being difficult. I mean, I was still pretty young, so of course I probably didn't get past the first stage either, but that's because my small child brain couldn't figure out what the buttons do. But
I don't remember when Jurassic Park came out, but it kind of seemed like Cavemen and Dino. Was it 93? So it was a couple years later. So we might have been like right in the start of like this whole prehistoric era of popular culture, because the other game that came out, which honestly is a much better game, that came out that same year was Joe and Mac. And so those type of games were always fascinating to play, you know, and they have cavemen and they have dinosaurs. And I think that's probably one of the other reasons that attracted me to Chuck Rock. I don't remember what came first, honestly, that year, but it was just a whole thing. And then, yeah, Jurassic Park, yeah, it did come out a couple years later.
Yeah, I don't understand how dinosaurs got so popular in the late 80s and early 90s. Like, I don't get what the fervor was over dinosaurs all of a sudden.
Was it the song by the there was a song called Walk the Dinosaur.
Yeah.
That came out in the late 80s. So maybe that song, because it was really popular, that came out in the late 80s. All of a sudden, it was like, let's start making video games and movies with dinosaurs and shit.
Was there not some like really shitty 80s movie with like Whoopi Goldberg and a T-Rex or something?
Oh my God, what? Is this like the whole Shaquille O'Neal Shazam or whatever the fuck that whole thing is? That sounds really familiar, and I completely forgot about that.
Apparently, I don't know how to spell Theodore Whoopi Rex. Goldberg. Yeah.
That came out in 95. Yeah. So, yeah.
Oh, so that was later. I thought that was earlier.
And we had the dinosaurs TV show in the 90s. And yeah, there was like a whole big movement. And I think it started with Walk the Dinosaur, honestly. It just seems to fit appropriately.
And then the Super Mario Brothers movie had a huge dinosaur thing to it.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
Nice little plot twist there somehow. It's so strange. You know, I guess if you think you're irrelevant now, just wait like 100 million years and you'll be relevant, just like the dinosaurs were. Yeah, so the development for Chuck Rock. Chuck Rock is a side-scrolling platformer developed by Core Design and published by a squad of publishers, depending on what platform you picked this up on. But we played the Genesis version, and so that was published by Virgin Games. Which, hey, Virgin Games, you know, just further cementing gamer's relationship status. As for the development of the game, the well is dry here. The only thing I could really dig up is that Chuck Rock was actually Core Design's mascot until Tomb Raider came out. And, you know, if it's one thing, again, when I just talked about my personal history, that really stuck out to me in my head was Chuck Rock's design. But, you know, I don't know. Who knew that a slack-jawed caveman with a huge beer belly wouldn't really stick well as a mascot, you know, compared to, you know, Lara Croft, you know, who's got like
her bulges are in all the right places.
Right. Yeah. Well, I wouldn't call them bulges. They're more like points. Oh, yeah. But
sure. Back then.
I would suppose my own narrative, if I was going to give some form of development history, was that the designer for the game, Robert Churchill, was noticing all of the dinosaur-related media that we've just been talking about was hitting the market, and he was like, hey, I want to do that too. So he made a dinosaur-adjacent video game with a character that is uglier than Bonk. And so we get Chuck Rock, right?
That is correct, sir.
So Chuck Rock was released worldwide for the Sega Genesis in 1992. The game was actually originally developed for the Atari ST and the Amiga, but as we stated earlier, got ported to basically everything under the sun, which are the Archimedes, which is something I don't think I've even mentioned on the show before, the Commodore 64, Game Gear, Master System, Super Nintendo, Game Boy, Sega CD, and Amiga CD 32. Review scores for context. The only contemporary score that isn't from a Sega outlet is from Allgame, which gave it a 2.5 out of 5. And Gagahook on GameFAQs.
What? Are you okay? Are you having a seizure?
That's going to play into a... That might play into the show a little bit later, actually.
Oh.
It's spelled G-G-A-G-A-H-C. On GameFAQs, gave it a 7 out of 10, simply stating, quote, very, very short game, end quote. They also claimed that they played this game in the arcades. And I don't know what alternate dimension this person is from, but I did not find anything about Chuck Rock being an arcade cabinet.
Yeah, no, they might have been thinking it was Joe and Mac that they played in the arcade, because that one was in the arcade. So they've probably gotten their cavemen mixed up, I'm guessing.
Understandable. There was a lot of them, from Master Higgins to Bonk, mm-hmm. Joe and Mac. Jesus, what the fuck were we doing? So the story here for Chuck Rock. Saving Ophelia from Gary. I mean, so...
And you realize that the name of the boss, Gary Gritter, is a...
Oh, he has a last name.
Oh, yeah, because don't you know that it's what it's in reference to?
What is it? Gritter?
Yeah, his last name's Gritter. Gary Gritter. Think about who that is in reference to.
John Ritter?
John Ritter. No, that's a good guess, though.
Well, then I don't fucking know.
Gary
know.
Glitter.
Who the fuck is that?
The singer, Gary Glitter. You're going to...
The swollen pause has me thinking I should know what you're talking about, but I don't.
You should. Gary Glitter, well, first of all, not only was he disgraced and thrown in prison for, like, pedophilia.
Oh, okay, great.
But his most famous song is Rock and Roll, the rock anthem that, like, NFL stadiums play and shit. That's Gary Glitter. That was his, like, most famous, and still, like, despite him being completely outcasted and shunned, that the sports world still continued to play that song in their stadiums and shit. So
all I can think of is Queen.
Oh, that's We Will Rock You.
Right. That's the only...
Well, your listeners will... I'm sure... I mean, unless they're complete total fucking nerds. I'm sure that if they follow sports closely, they know exactly what I'm talking about without even knowing anything else about Gary Glitter. Oh, the pedophile guy whose song we hear at football games? Yeah, I know that. And that's all they're going to know. But you don't even know that. So that's, I'm surprised, but whatever. I guess you'll have some research to do later.
I'm sure once I hear the song, I'm going to be like, oh, yeah, okay. But it's probably going to be a song I never even think about.
Yeah.
Why would I even think about him?
You can insert it right here. Anyway.
Well, speaking of bands that play music, there's no story in this game, but the second you turn it on, there's a band playing. Yep. Right?
Which honestly is like, as simple as it is like the coolest intro for a game. Honestly, that's like the best part of the game, in my opinion, is that intro. Them just sitting there jamming out, rocking out.
I mean, I've got more to talk about that in the graphics section, but, you know, if there's no story presented in the game, of course, I go check out the manual. I'm going to give the folks at Core some credit here, because if you look at the manual, if you read what it says, you will realize that, of course, through the entire game, Chuck is naked throughout the entire game with only like a small bush around his hips, you know, covering his little jangly bits, right? But would you believe there's lore behind the reason why he's got this bush?
I would have never guessed.
Chuck Rock, well, if Rock really is his last name, wears clothes like any normal human being. But as the story goes, when Gary breaks into the house to capture Ophelia, she hasn't finished the laundry yet. Oh!
What?
So basically, the reason why we're on an adventure to kill Gary, who I assume is the T-Rex boss at the end of the game.
That is correct, yeah.
Which also is like, before I even get to the whole laundry thing, how does a T-Rex stealthily break into a house and kidnap somebody?
Very, very carefully.
Perhaps Gary needed his laundry done, because he's like walking around in boxer shorts at the end of the game. But yeah, I mean, we're going to save Ophelia on the premise that she hasn't finished our laundry yet, which is, that says stuff, but
it's too bad they couldn't have done like a whole intro on that. As cool as the band is, like that would have been, because the game is supposed to be funny. It's supposed to be slapstick or something, which, I mean, it's a fun game, but none of it really ever had me laughing, per se. Back when I was a kid, I thought it was funny being able to you know, use your belly as a weapon. Yeah, but but other than that, like that, doing something like that, it definitely would help. I don't know if you want to talk about it now, probably not, but that would definitely help explain the verbiage that's used on the ending credits screen of
yeah.
Because otherwise it sounds, because when you see it, it sounds like he's about to get dirty with Ophelia.
Right.
Instead, well, we know exactly probably why, but we can get to that later, I guess.
Well, yeah, because when you finish the game, it says, so in the manual, it basically reads like the opening, you know, 2 minutes of a Flintstones cartoon, essentially. It's very Flintstone. Like, Chuck Rock is sitting in a chair watching TV on his rock TV, and he's using like a pterodactyl as an antenna or something like that. Very Flintstones. But at the end of the game, it says Chuck is going to take a well-deserved vacation. But like, in the manual, Ophelia was doing laundry when she got kidnapped, and he was just sitting on his ass drinking beers. So like, what vacation? Like, it sounds like he was pretty chill until he was like, damn, I need to finish this laundry. I better go get my bitch back.
Well, he needed a vacation from that half hour of work that he did, bouncing enemies around with his belly. But it's not that part that I'm more concerned about the fact that they say something to the likes of, you know, Chuck's about to slip out of his leaves and take, I'm like, and then take the, and I'm like, does that mean that he's going to be banging Ophelia on this vacation? Because other, that's what I'm saying.
Put some,
that's what I'm saying. Okay. That whole laundry thing would have worked a lot better as an intro to the game, because otherwise you just go into it and you just start it and you're thinking that he's going to slip out of his leaves and go on a vacation with her. It's like, I wonder what's, Ooga Booga or Unga Bunga.
Better watch out when you take those leaves off. There's not some bugs that have taken up residency in those pubes.
Yikes.
Let's get to this gameplay here. I've covered a lot of platformers on this show. It's obviously the genre that we preferred to play in the house back in the day, so there's been tons of them. There's going to be a lot more until I start carving out my own niche as we get further into the show. But I kind of dropped a hint towards this earlier. I can finally talk about a game that really suits this podcast, because the main mechanic here is Chuck's hip thrust, or what the manual calls the belly butt. So, of course, you can jump, and then using pressing B allows you to kick enemies in midair. And then finally, you can pick up and chuck rocks at enemies, or use them to get use the rocks to get to higher platforms to find hidden areas, in which usually those are just kind of stacked with items that basically give you more points, which, you know, the picking up the rocks and stuff like that, directly taken out of one of the better Mario games for the NES. And I'm not talking about Mario 3. So that's the basics of the game. But how does this all actually come together? How well does it all play and feel?
Okay, so I think it plays just fine. There's really nothing to complain about with the controls. It's very basic. I mean, you got a jump kick, you got your hip thrust, and then you can pick up a rock and throw it. There was never really anything difficult. There was nothing was like felt cheap in it whatsoever. And it's very traditional side-scrolling gameplay. The only thing that, I mean, there was a number of things, and the game looks great too. I mean, it looks really good. I mean, even playing it today, I think that it's just a really beautiful 16-bit side-scrolling game. However, the one thing that I didn't like was sometimes the constant onslaught of enemies. Like, there could be times in the game where you got an enemy coming up from below you while there's two enemies coming on the right and then another enemy dive bombing you from the top. Those moments kind of frustrated me. And then the other thing that didn't make sense was, since your name is Chuck Rock and you can chuck rocks, and it's really good that they use rocks as almost like a puzzle element in the game as well, in order to progress, to further your progression. There was the first boss where you can use a rock, and that was like the only way you could defeat that first enemy to begin with, really, anyway, because he's just charging back and forth across the screen. But it was the fact that, okay, so you had the rock there, it was at the bottom of the screen, you had to go pick it up while the enemy was running away, and then as soon as he turns around, he's coming back, and it seems like you have hardly any time to pick up that rock and then jump on the ledge. And then you go up one more ledge, and then you throw it down, you time it. I like that. All the other bosses, you didn't have a rock. Like, there was no way you can incorporate a rock. You had to do close physical contact with your belly or your jump kick, which was frustrating. I don't understand why there couldn't have been more thought put in to those boss fights to use a rock and kind of figure out, is there like another element, another way to use that element, I should say, to defeating a boss other than just going in and mashing a button and hoping you don't get hit and then backing off and, you know what I'm saying? I think there could have been more thought put in to the rest of the boss fights. I kind of felt that they were more based on, you know, the boss's looks, the visual looks, their sprites and everything, rather than the actual fights themselves. But other than that frustration and the frustration sometimes of these enemies just bombarding you. Granted, you're given a lot of hearts, but you know, if you get caught in a situation where it's just you can't kill these enemies enough, they're just gonna keep taking life off of you. You can get like one or two bars down in health, and then you see a heart and like, yes, I totally need that heart. And then as you go and get it, another enemy hits you and you're dead. You know, so you know, that was frustrating. That was frustrating for me. That's probably those caused the most frustrations, especially when I was about to get a heart to try to save my ass, and then I would die. And you only get one continue in the game, which sucks.
Yeah, there's no way to save
right.
your progress.
Right. So yeah. it's about a, if you could play it through cleanly without, you know, any, you can use your one continue or whatever. You know, it's about a half an hour campaign. But for me, I had to start it over a couple times to get through it. And, you know, it took me about an hour, a little over an hour, before I finished it. And
they are pretty, you know, I would say they do give you plenty of opportunities to rack up lives, though, by collecting the fruit that's scattered throughout the levels.
Right. And that's my other complaint is the game is really nothing more than just a game to rack up points. There's nothing in the levels. You don't even if you don't want to rack up extra lives, you can just forego collecting or going out of your way to collect, you know, like the especially the bigger prizes, like the, you know, the pig head, for example.
It's very much just walk right and get to the end of the
exactly.
level.
Exactly. There's absolutely no other motivation for you to be doing anything else in that level, except if you really do want to rack up points. Which that's not me. I'm not a point racker upper. You know, I want some other motivation. Give me, you know, like a hidden cave in there. You give me a bonus level. You know, give me something else other than just going from left to right and hoping that you get there alive. And that's it. So that frustrated me because I started replaying it. And I'm like, well, maybe there's things like a little bit further exploration, maybe trying to get up in the air a little bit more and finding a platform that where there's something and that I didn't find as a kid, especially when I started cheating and I just ran through the game left to right,
right,
you know, being invincible. So, and there was nothing. There was nothing. I'm like, what is this? This is pointless. To me, it as beautiful of a game it is and as almost flawless as the controls are, to me, it's a pointless game. But we'll get there eventually. So,
yeah, some good points. I'm going to echo a lot of what you said. Actually, I do want to touch on the bosses and that I wasn't really frustrated. I thought the bosses were incredibly easy. I was disappointed though because I thought they were so easy. And you do bring up a good point in that first boss bringing up the rock chucking mechanic. And that's just never brought back again. You would think that, yeah, they would do something a little bit different with that mechanic. Maybe introduce more platforms that you might have to get up to.
Yeah, be more creative.
Or, yeah, right.
Because all you're doing with the other four bosses is just going up to them and kicking and pounding your belly into them and then backing off when they attack. And that ain't shit, man. That's just button mashing.
The only one I really had a difficult time with was the final boss. But all the other bosses, I stun locked them basically on accident almost, you know, like I think the Sabretooth boss kind of runs off screen a little bit. And before he could get back on screen, I just went to the end of the screen and just started kicking him off screen and he couldn't do anything about it and he died. And then the same thing was kind of with the mammoth boss was over before it even started. Like I just went up, started kicking him and he couldn't hit me. Yeah, the bosses are incredibly disappointing. Like, they are almost, it's like you said, like, yeah, most of this game, you're walking to the right, you're not doing much, just other than getting to the end of the level, and then you fight these bosses who are also not, in my opinion, they're not very challenging. So you're not really satisfied there either. And it's just like, man, what? This is just one of the most bare bones basic platformers out there. And it's, you know, yeah, you got the rock throwing mechanic. And yeah, you can use that as kind of an element of reaching other platforms and stuff like that. But yeah, at the end of the day, you are just picking up more points. Like, that's all you're really using it for. Which, going back to what I alluded to earlier with a core memory that was unlocked for me, was I did remember playing this game as a kid, and in that first level, could never, ever, ever figure out how to pick up that first rock. Which just goes to show you, I probably never even beat the first level as a kid. Because I could not, even replaying it for the show, I still could not figure out how to pick up that first rock.
That is, you know what? That is exactly the same fucking thing that happened to me. I got to playing it, and the only thing that I could remember, despite the name of the fucking game, I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. I can use, yeah, I'm using my belly. Yeah, this feels good. I remember doing that. And I'm walking by all these rocks, and I'm like, wait, how the fuck do I get up here? I'm like, oh, that's right. You got to go pick up rocks, right? And then I'm like, and then I saw like in the, they got some attributes, in the levels, where, you know, you got your typical background stuff, but then you have stuff in the foreground too, like a cracked egg that's just sitting on a platform. And I'm sitting there as I'm going back towards trying to find a rock. There's like this cracked egg. I'm like, oh, let me pick that up. I can't pick this up. Why can't I pick this up? It looks like I can do something to it. Can I break it? And I'm bitten it. Like, I cannot do anything with this egg. And then I realize it's just foreground decoration. And then I went back and found a rock.
Ambiance.
Yeah, yeah. And then I went back and found a rock, and I'm sitting there. I'm like, how the fuck do I pick this up? And then I finally got it. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. I got halfway through the first level realizing that I literally can pick up rocks.
Yeah. But overall, like, yeah, there's some difficult spots in the game, but I personally didn't have a very tough time in this game. I do think it's interesting that it's more of a defensive game than offensive, because it seems like a lot of the enemy AI is just kind of standing around doing their own thing until like you get like a little closer to them and then they aggro. And so at that point, it's just kind of like a matter of just kind of sitting there and waiting for them to come to you, and then you attack them. But like, yeah, I think like later on you mentioned later on in the game, they kind of start throwing more combinations at you, and it can get a little frustrating sometimes, but I usually tried to deal with them on a one-on-one basis, because they don't respawn, if I recall.
They do not, but if you also don't kill them, some of them remember that you're still there, unfortunately. And sometimes too, like, if you go back in thinking that something that flew off the screen would not be there, it's still there. it still comes back at you. So
the toughest sections for me were the water levels.
And they're, you know what? As far as graphics go, those looked awful. Those water levels looked really bad. But yeah, they were also frustrating as well.
The water's like super dark.
It's dark, and it's like they just put like a, I don't know what you want to call it, like a layer in front of the water of just hatching, like hatch marks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that was like their way of, you know, putting some kind of
realism into the water.
That is like a very texture that is very unrealistic.
And they also tried to combine elements of like platforming. Like they tried to give you different routes in those water levels. Like you can either take the top route, which has a lot of platforming and stuff like that, some bullshit enemy placement, or you can just take your time and go swimming through the water. The problem I had was that a lot of the enemies that were on those ledges, on the platforms above the water, can drop into the water.
Yep.
And the water is already overly crowded with enemies, and so it only gets more crowded when those enemies on the platforms are introduced into the water.
Yep.
And that, I found that incredibly frustrating, along with how Chuck controls in the water, because he has a tendency to just well, he's incredibly buoyant. And so you're constantly kind of hammering on the D-pad to make sure he's swimming correctly. And just overall didn't feel that great. Luckily, there's only one water level, but I mean, it was rough.
That's where I used, up my one continue is in those water levels. The second go through that where I actually finished it. Yeah, it was, it was ridiculous. I mean, I tried to stay afloat as much as I possibly could, on the top of the screen. Once I realized there was probably less harm in doing that. And then when you remember, like you said, at what point some of the enemies come down from those upper ledges and just drop into the water, you just kind of inch your way into it and just wait for it to happen. And then you go up, you know? But yeah, it's very frustrating. It's dark. It looks like crap. And to fight the buoyancy, you can pick up a rock and you sink and you can walk on the ground. But then when you have enemies coming at you, it's barely going to do any good. I mean, you could throw a rock at one enemy, but then you're going to lose that heaviness and you could start floating up into another enemy that's there, which, yeah. So, and I already, as most people know of me, hate water levels in games. That's why I don't like Wind Waker very much. It's a great game, but it's not my preference, of Zelda games, but, I just hate water in games and I absolutely hate it. And the other thing too that I couldn't figure out, it took me a while, which when I got there and that's where I used up that continue finally, was I kept dying. I'm like, why am I dying? Like, I don't see any, like in Sonic, I don't see any bubbles where I can get air. Like, how am I dying? I'm not getting hit. Why am I dying? It took me 3 deaths to realize you got to watch his little head in the corner of the screen as he starts to suffocate. There's like a level indicator. I'm like,
what?
Yeah. He could.
I did never notice that.
He will suffocate if you don't come up for air. And I'm like, and it took me 3 times dying to realize that that was a thing. Cause in other games, you've got a chance to, you know, get bubbles or something, or there's a timer that starts. That is the most common indication that you could die underwater is a timer pops up on the screen. There is no such thing. If you're not paying attention to his little head, you have no freaking idea. His head starts turning blue. You got like literally like maybe 15 seconds.
That's pretty dark.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's pretty dark, actually.
Yeah. So there's a chance that you could have died from suffocation and you thought maybe you died getting hit by an enemy, because there was times where.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. There was times where it looked like I died by getting hit by an enemy. And I'm like, that enemy was nowhere close to me. Like, how is this water level so bad that impact at that hitbox is so big? And I'm like, oh, like I started like realizing he's drowning.
Hey, what's up? What's going on? What are you doing on this side of Castletown?
Listen!
The Cuckoos tore up Link's tunic again? No, I always say, it may be dangerous to go alone, but it's always more dangerous to slap your chickens around.
Look!
Oh, wow. Ooh, is that, he doesn't look... Is he dead?
Listen!
Hey, well, I don't have any tunics for sale. Some weird 35-year-old ferryman just bought all of those, so I do have these shirts, tanks, and hoodies.
Hey!
That's right. Just head on over to redbubble.com/people/mainquestpod and check out the huge selection of merch. You want a t-shirt? You can never go wrong walking around in a classic logo tee. Hell, you can walk into any dungeon with enough confidence with one of those bad boys on. But you really want to keep from getting mauled by vicious peckers? Equip yourself with one of the special designs. Or maybe you want something a little more simple. There's stickers, pins, phone cases, and tote bags to trap those little bastards. And the shipping is fast, so you'll never have to wonder when your package arrives.
Look!
That's right, hey, there's even a clock. But I can't promise that will stop the moon from crashing into the Earth. Again, that site is redbubble.com/people/ManQuestPod. Or just visit the link in the show notes. If you decide to support the show, know that any and all funds feed directly back into the show. So I know you don't have hands or arms or any. Can you just please get him out of here? The longer he lays here, the worse this looks for both of us.
Watch out!
So let's sidestep here before we get into our last two categories here. Back, of course, by popular demand, is a game I would like to call Bisglag Gunga Grug Dig Grab Snarkus Offend Brigogla. Otherwise known as certainly this game won't offend anybody.
It sounds like you're having a really bad day today.
I'm going to give you five games. Each one is worth 2 points if you can guess them correctly. I will give you 3 clues as to what the game is. But the catch is that the description of these games is going to be in caveman speak.
All right.
Are you ready?
No.
You never are. You never seem like you are. First game. First clue. Foopy Bluggle Snark Dig Grab Foopy Dam. Would you like me to repeat that?
Yes. I mean, I don't, but yeah.
Foopy Bluggle Snark Dig Grab Foopy Dam. Would you like the second clue?
Okay, sure.
Slappers Bruggle Borgle Odd Job?
Fuck.
Would you like me to read that one again?
All right, well, give me the third one.
Based Argo Greg James Bond Dickel.
Okay, well, I'm based upon what you just said, I'm going to go with GoldenEye.
Correct! And translation for those clues were, the first one was, the first level is the dam. The second second clue here, slappers only, no odd jobs. And last clue, based on a James Bond property.
Yeah, so I heard the odd job, and I thought maybe, but you know what? There was something in the first one that you made me think that it was a Bugsy game. Bugsy? Bubsy? The cat?
Bubsy?
I thought you were talking about that, so then when I heard odd job, I was really confused.
Oh, the Foopy Bluggle might have thrown you off. All right, second game. First clue. Ungle Briggle Dig Grab.
Okay. Dick Grab. Got that.
Second clue. Mascot Briggle Argle Argle Foopy Genesis.
Sonic the Hedgehog?
Yes! It is Sonic. The last one was Snack Leg 7 Emerald Snarkle Super Bruggle. Those clues were the first one, gotta go fast. Then the mascot for the Genesis. And the last one, collecting 7 emeralds for superpower.
This is almost like having... Oh, I'm not going to say it.
Third game. First clue. Bork, bork, foopy.
Bork, 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 foopy? Something's ringing a bell just with that. Bork, bork, foopy.
Okay.
Wait. I want to stab at this without going into the second one. Bork, bork, foopy? Oh.
Okay. Go ahead.
Bork, bork, foopy. Bork, bork, foopy. Oh. There's something right at the forefront of my frontal lobe that that is like triggering me, but I can't quite speak it. Okay, give me the second one.
Snark Argle Mars.
Okay, now no, that's not helping me at all. What was it again?
Snark Argle Mars.
Snark Argle Mars. Bork Bork.
And Bork Bork Foopy.
Snark. Was there a Mork and Mindy game that I don't know about?
Possibly.
No, there probably wasn't. Okay, I'm gonna need a third one then, I guess.
Are you thinking about that one like Cartoon Network song where it was like Bork Bork, or whatever the fuck it was?
I have no idea what the fuck you're talking about.
Get in this capsule, baby. We are blasting off. Wow, we were just talking about, well, you know, you hit me with that Gary Sparkles or whatever Glitter. The fuck. The final clue. Boonga Satan Ooga Snarkberg Doombrigagla.
Well, because you said Satan and Doom, I'm going to go with Doom.
It is Doom.
See, you give it away by the third one, definitely. So I'm trying not to get there now. What was the first one? Okay, yeah, go through them. What was the first one?
The first one was Rip and Tear.
Okay, never mind.
Bork Bork Foopy. I mean, it's clearly... I mean, I don't know how clear I could have been. And the second one was Hell on Mars. And the final one was... Satan is scared of the Doom guy. The fourth game here. Brigagla Dickle Foopy Service.
What the fuck? Is it one of your dating sims? I have no fucking clue.
Second clue.
Yeah.
Mushrooms. Mushrooms Bluggle Bruggle.
Yeah. So, I'm going to say Super Mario Brothers.
That is incorrect.
Where am I thinking mushrooms everywhere? Has that been a thing somewhere? Mushrooms everywhere. You're not trying to throw a curveball and this is a Super Mario Brothers movie, is it, or something? Like, was that in a trailer?
Wait, did I accidentally say the wrong thing?
I don't know, did you?
Did I give you the caveman thing, or did I give you what the actual clue is?
Mushrooms,
Bluggle Bruggle?
Yeah, that's what you said. And so I'm thinking Bruggle Bruggle is everywhere. Mushrooms everywhere. And because that is
actually the actual clue, yeah. So
yeah.
I'll give that to you. Yeah.
But okay, so that being said, without getting to the third one, because I don't want it. What was the first one again?
Brigagla Dickle Foopy Service.
Brigagla Dickle Bloop Poopy Sir. Wait, service? Fuck. Mushrooms everywhere. I don't know. Fuck. I know this sounds so familiar. Yeah, I guess you're gonna have to give me the third one. Uh-oh. Wait a minute!
What? What?
Wait. I know where I know that type of phrase from. But I don't think it was mushrooms everywhere. Didn't Buzz Lightyear say something to Woody in Toy Story? Is this a Toy Story game?
It is not.
Oh, fuck. All right, whatever. Give me the third one.
Foopy Argle Ooga Foopy Cure. These are fucking tongue twisters, man.
I think I'm stumped on this one. Is the mushrooms... I'm stuck on this one. I gotta figure this one. Is the mushrooms everywhere a line from the game? Or is it like...
No.
No? Is it a stage level name?
No. It's just in general.
Because we've already said... You said it wasn't Super Mario Brothers, and we already said Sonic the Hedgehog, which also has mushrooms. Unless you're trying to throw a curveball and throw another Sonic game in here. Mushrooms. Hold on. Is it Breath of the Wild?
It is not.
Okay, I give up. I don't know this one.
The Last of Us.
Oh, fucking A. Holy shit, that is so blatantly obvious. What the fuck?
The first clue, the translation was bad childcare service. Of course, the second clue you already figured out, mushrooms everywhere. And the last one was The Child is the Cure.
Yeah, see, I heard cure, and then I immediately thought, mushrooms, cure, and then Link making fucking recipes.
Mushrooms are not the cure. Very much the opposite in that universe.
Very, very, very much, yeah.
And the final game, I mean, hey, you are 3 for 5 so far, so pretty damn good, actually. Final game here, first clue. This is a long one, Jesus. Digrabs Brigagla, Argle Briggle Bressel, Goonga Goog.
Don't repeat it, just get to the second one.
Wisdom Bulga Bruggle.
Get to the third one.
Wisdom Bruggle Bruggle. Nope. Bulga Bruggle.
Yes,
excuse me.
It does not help me. Nothing. No.
Foopy Sword slays Foopy Pig.
Okay. So I'm going to guess that is a Legend of Zelda game.
That's correct.
Is there?
That's it. Just
that one?
The Legend of Zelda. Okay. Just Legend of Zelda.
I heard slay and sword and pig and yeah.
Cast a wide net. Yeah, I tried to get the translator to
use an actual translator.
Yeah.
Like English to caveman speak.
Yeah.
Oh my fucking god.
The first clue was it's dangerous to go alone. The second one was wisdom, courage, power. And the last one was the sword slays the pig.
There's a fucking translator for everything, isn't there?
Yeah, there literally was. I had another game in mind, but it wasn't going to work out. But hey, this worked out. You got 4 out of 5. That's not fucking bad.
Fuck yeah. What do I win?
You get a spot on the main quest high scoreboard. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be back the there points. If I ever dropped off.
This has been Bisclad Gunga Grug Digrap Snarkus Offend Brigagla. About the graphics here, and since this is basically your first time talking about a Sega game on the show, I'll pass this off to you. What do you think about the graphics?
Yeah, like I said, I think the graphics look really good for that 16-bit era side-scrolling game. I can't, you know how the Genesis was always kind of darker in color tones. I'm sure the NSNES version probably pops a little bit more on the color palette, but for a Genesis game, it's pretty good. I mean, it's not Joe and Mac quality, but it almost feels like you're playing a beefed up, in graphics, a beefed up Bonk game. I mean, there's even a lot of the way that the character's sprites are designed that look like they could have been in a Bonk game. I'm sure Bonk had to be some kind of influence. But, yeah, I think even playing it today, I think it holds up pretty well graphically. I aside from the layers or whatever they did with the water that made it look so fucking terrible, everything else is good, especially the boss sprites. I thoroughly enjoy them, and I think, Chuck Rock himself is very clear and definable, his sprite. Overall, I really did enjoy the graphics, and I came to appreciate the foreground objects as well. You didn't get a lot of that back then, and they were very subtle and very few and far between, but you didn't get a lot of that in side-scrolling platforms at that time. So hats off to them on that from me.
Yeah, I actually don't have too much to add here. I'm overly just, yeah, very surprised at how bold this game looks, how colorful it is compared to a lot of the stuff that I've been playing lately. We mentioned the art direction of the game, the art style. Everything just fits cohesively. Like, even the design of Chuck himself feels like he very much fits in that environment. Nothing seems out of place. There's a lot of foreground stuff that you mentioned that gives the, that really fleshes out the environments just a little bit more. It's surprisingly good. It's actually really decent. You know, the art style itself, like the best way I could describe it is like that it's like bold.
Yeah.
Like if you look at some of the boss designs or like the dinosaur, there's a couple of dinosaurs, that you can ride on in this game. They seem to use like a lot of negative space, like on a lot of those designs. And I don't know if I'm explaining this correctly, but the bodies are like very large and there's not like a lot going on, while like the rest of the design kind of bottlenecks into like a little head and face or whatever.
Right.
I guess maybe not bolded. I guess all the character designs look bloated, if that makes sense. Not bold, but they're like bloated. It's kind of a weird style, but it actually fits. And I think it really does stand out amongst, you know, all the other like caveman era games, which were kind of also doing their own thing as well.
Right.
The levels themselves, I mean, they're whatever. You know, you got your grassy plains level, your fire level, water levels, ice levels. And then towards the end, there's an entire area that's just basically ripped from Bonk when you go straight up. You straight up go inside of a dinosaur, and that's a level. I think what I did like the most out of the presentation of this game is that the further you progress into the game, the further you get into like the timeline of dinosaurs, because by the time you get to that end level, you're seeing like dead dinosaurs all over the place, and there's like meteors in the sky and shit. Right. And I think there's like a nice level of detail in there. It just kind of seems like you're walking around like a dinosaur graveyard. And the game kind of takes an unexpectedly gloomy turn towards the end. So, and then we talked about the title screen a little bit up top. It's fucking goofy as fuck. But I mean, it's pretty good. Like, you didn't see anything like this. And I mean, we're going to talk about the music in a second. Music's pretty decent in here. But I mean, yeah, the sprites are, they're pretty basic in their movements, but they are moving they're moving with the rhythm of the song. And some people would say that drummer's still holding his hands in the air.
You know, it's interesting. After I finished the game, as most times that I do, going back to old games and then trying to read up after I finished on things, I did, and I'd actually for the first time did look at the manual, because I know that you do that. So I did read the manual afterwards as well. But one of the things I did was, I'm like, there's got to be something more to this to this title screen. Like, it's so random that you've got these cavemen and woman. All right, I think there was a woman in the band, maybe.
Possibly.
I can't remember, but you've got these cavemen, cave people, in let's be PC here, in a band, and
a dinosaur,
yeah, and a dinosaur, and they're rocking out, and that has nothing to do with the game going forward for the most part, except the music is pretty good too. It kind of harkens to that title screen, but I'm like, is there something hidden in this title screen? Is there something that I can do? And I found that there's a code. It's a cheat code for the game that I didn't bother with. Actually, I did. Well, I did try it just to see what happens on the title screen. If it was true, I couldn't get the code to work, mainly probably because I was using a third party controller and not a Genesis controller. So the buttons were all fucked up, but the button mapping, but apparently there's a code that you can enter so that when the game starts, you can skip levels or something like that. But on the screen, if you do it right, I think it might be Chuck Rock that's playing the guitar, like second from the right or something. I think that might be him. The guitar player who's kind of looking moody, kind of looking like he could brood and whatever. He's got, I guess if you do it correctly, he will smirk a smile as they continue to play. So I didn't get to see that. But apparently that is the one thing you can do with the title screen, is if you enter a cheat code correctly, he will actually stop brooding and he'll be a little happier and give you a little bit of a smirk. So
how very quaint.
Yes.
back in the day, just like these minor things would be like, bring your friend over and be like, watch what I can do.
Right.
And then you put in the code or whatever. You're like, oh my God, wow, that's so cool.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, we may as well talk about that opening song here and just start talking about the music. And surprisingly, this isn't going to be part of the show where I bash the Genesis sound chip for once. I mean, yeah, it's an incredibly impressive song by the Genesis sound chip standards. The guitar, I think, still sounds a little bit weird. It's like really, it just sounds very electronic and like twangy. Yeah. But at least it sounds like somebody is picking a string, you know, as opposed to somebody hitting a fucking dot matrix printer with a baseball bat, like most of the games that I've been playing so far. There is a keyboard solo in this song. Mm-hmm. And yes, you can type in the chat. That is a thing you can do. there's a keyboard solo, but there's like, I don't think there's a keyboardist in the band. So I don't know what the fuck is going on unless the Brontosaurus is playing a keytar or something. But
probably. That was a thing back then.
I didn't mind the soundtrack. I don't think there's a catchy fucking song in this game.
No.
There's nothing that sticks out, and there's nothing that gets stuck in my head. But this is maybe only like the third or fourth game that I thought just it didn't sound like shit. And that's a very low bar to pass,
right?
Honestly. But before I guess I talk about some of the sound effects here, what did you think about the music overall?
You know, for what it was, and for, you know, the Genesis version, like I said, don't know anything about any other version, but it was good. And I, you know, echo your sentiments pretty much, you know, exactly where I can say that there was nothing memorable, but it wasn't annoying, which makes it just good. I had no complaints. You know, I didn't get tired or bored or have to turn the sound down or anything like that of it. For the Genesis, it was better than most Genesis games for sure. But nothing. You know, nothing stands out. Wasn't annoying. It was just a good music.
So I am going to nitpick a little bit here, and then I'm going to complain. My nitpick is that Chuck's hip thrust or belly butt sounds like a taut rubber band.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I don't know. I didn't like the sound of his belly butt. It just, you know, you got Sonic's jumping sound, you got Mario's jumping sound, you know, iconic attack sounds.
Right.
And Chuck Rock's just like boing. It's like, I don't know. I understand he has a big gut or whatever, and he hits people with it. I don't know what else you would use here. I understand you need some sort of audio signal.
Yeah.
To like let the player know you're doing anything at all. I just kind of wish it was something different.
I'm going to agree with you to that to an extent, in that I understand it's supposed to be silly. And to them, that was probably a silly sound. I think personally, what they could have used, and there's video games later that were like, almost the same, like almost that came up with, like, well, let's take, well, okay, so I'm going to just jump ahead a little bit. Let's take Earthworm Jim. So when he uses himself as a whip, you hear a whip sound, which is, it's appropriate, right? So maybe to them, and maybe Earthworm, you know, the who did Shiny Entertainment? Maybe the developers, Shiny Entertainment, they took kind of like something like a Chuck Rock and said, yeah, let's make like a funny sound that sounds appropriate for what he's doing. And Chuck Rock kind of does that. However, I kind of feel like if you were to take the silliness aside and put it away and then think about what other secondary sound could be made, I think like a really good, like, oh, sound or something like coming, you know, like a guttural, like heave of him,
Making
that probably would have been better, but That's also.
But also, would you want to hear that for 30 minutes straight, though, too?
As realistic as that sounds, you know, as that would be, and still kind of be silly, I think it would be more annoying as the game goes on. Whereas the boing, like, yeah, it's kind of weird, but at least it's, to me, it didn't annoy me. It didn't annoy me. I guess it's a little bit nitpicky that I think they could have done better, but it's fine. You know?
Yeah, it's my small nitpick. I was just like, yeah, I guess. Maybe it's just because I just didn't find the game that funny. So I was just like,
Yeah, that's what I said at the top. But
yeah, that's totally what they're totally going for.
Right.
But the thing that I really did hate, though, is speaking to sound effects, is these fucking pterodactyls, dude.
Oh, my God.
As soon as they fly onto the screen, they're just like, they will not shut the fuck up until you kill them or you get far away enough from them. Like, it's just instantly they show up and they're just screaming.
Yeah.
It's like,
it's pretty bad.
You could have not given them any other sound effect. Like, maybe if they did like one screech when they showed up and you're like, yeah, it's okay.
Yeah. Like what? And make it a little bit longer, like, wah! And then be done with it when they dive bomb or something, but not when they're just flying around and not doing a goddamn thing.
I was just like, are you fucking kidding me with this sound?
Yeah.
Like, Jesus Christ. Yeah. But I mean, overall, like when it comes to the sound effects and the music, that was pretty okay.
I had no complaints.
Anything else?
Nope, I had no complaints. Yeah. That I agree with you. I mean, we've pretty much been mostly in agreeance, except for the fact that you seemed less annoyed by some of the gameplay than I was. But I mean, we're pretty much right on, which, well, that's going to make the recommendation very interesting. That's for sure. But
yeah, we will see. And let's talk about the recommendation. Oh! We've reached the end of the show.
All
yeah.
Right, next segue.
And all we have to do is summarize our experience with Chuck Rock and if we would recommend it in 2023. And yeah, I feel like you're going to be a little more negative. So why don't we just start out with you first? We'll end off on a little bit of a positive note.
Okay. Summarize again, graphically, it's a great game graphically, and it still holds up to this day. It's beautiful to look at. The music, not memorable, but not terrible. It's good. It's a good companion to the game. The character sprites, awesome, especially the bosses. Yeah, like you said, some of them are empty space and kind of bloated, but that was also like a thing that happened back then with a lot of 16-bit games. So I'm going to give them a pass on that. Gameplay, you know, the moments, especially underwater or when things are just coming at you from all sides, bit of annoying. That was like my major gripe as far as the gameplay. My other less major, where they just could have been more creative, like with the first boss, they could have been more creative with the additional four bosses going forward. Because the game does use a little bit of puzzle elements with using the rock, they could have used a little bit more puzzle elements to add a little bit more to the boss fights later. But still, overall, it is an enjoyable game to play at least one time through, and therefore I'm going to give it a light recommend for 2023. You thought I wasn't going to recommend it at all, did you?
I the way you were talking about it the other night, I really did not think you were going to.
Oh, okay.
But maybe you're just too, you came off a little too hot right away, probably. So.
Well, I just didn't expect, I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that I realized I used a Game Genie back then, and that kind of pissed myself off. Like, it pissed myself off because I'm like, I cheated to get through this game, and I can't cheat this time. And I think that I kind of just put myself in that position. And the fact that I, you know, you take a game that's a half hour at best, at most, getting through it in one sitting, you know, like I doubled that a little bit more. And that also upset me a little bit too. I expected to just whip right through it and I didn't. So a lot of it's on me. The light recommend, let's emphasize that a little bit for me. I'm giving it a little bit, I'm being a little bit gracious just because I know that a lot of it falls on my personal past with this game and just how I felt playing it, that I can't just give it a light not recommend. So I'm being a little bit gracious with the light recommend and that emphasis on the light.
I do want to defend myself just a little bit. I when I said that there's a lot of empty space utilized in a lot of the character designs, that wasn't a dig at the game. I was just mentioning that it was a very unique take on what a lot of the other games did when it came to the way they designed their characters, especially when it came to the dinosaurs. I didn't think it was necessarily bad.
I kind of did, in a way, because you take a look at the rest of the game graphically, background, and even the foreground additions, that you think that they, with that empty space, they could have added a little bit more detail instead of just jumping on a dinosaur and he's all just purple and nothing else except for eyeballs. I think they could have done a little bit more.
Oh, okay.
I didn't mind it. But it's fine. I mean, it's fine.
I mean, you and I have talked about a lot of the other caveman games that had been around here. I even covered the first two Bonk. Well, I covered three Bonk games, technically, on the show prior. There's something in the water in the late 80s and early 90s that just eventually would culminate in Jurassic Park, right? Just busting that dam right open. On top of that, people were still trying to emulate the success of Super Mario Brothers without thinking about what they could actually do to progress the genre. And then, so you get a lot of games like Chuck Rock. I don't think this game does anything new, but it doesn't do those things poorly, in my opinion, either. We both agree the game looks and, for the most part, sounds really good. In fact, I mean, this is probably some of the best praise I've given to the sound on a Genesis game in quite a while. Just for the fact that a lot of these Genesis games, as I talked, they're not nice to listen to. You know, I wouldn't call Chuck Rock a hidden gem or anything like that. It's definitely not that. Also, I'm not a shill.
Hidden gems video.
Hidden gems video.
NES hidden gems video.
Hidden gems video.
PlayStation 1 hidden gems video.
So, come on. But yeah, I think I'm going to just basically echo everything you said. And I am going to actually also give this a light recommend. It's a decent platformer. There's some challenge to it, but overall it's kind of a incredibly breezy playthrough. You know, like you said, play through it once, you'll have a good time. There's not a lot of reason to go back to it though.
Nope.
Which is a little bit unfortunate, but
right. I mean, when you got when you got a game, and this is something that I was with the whole Nintendo Switch Online and dabbling into the handheld titles. You know, I was playing Kirby's Dream Land, and I'm like, God, yeah, I freaking love this game. This is like one of the best original platformers back then. And they added a second quest, you know, after you beat it. You can go back in, and it's a little bit harder. You know, it gives you a little bit more challenge, and there's nothing like that here. Like, they, and yeah, I mean, it's five levels, but stages, I don't know, flip-flop the terminology. I don't know how you want to refer to,
acts,
but some
stages acts,
yeah. some have 12 levels. Like the first one is like 12 levels within that one, and then you have another one that's only four. I think overall you get like some around 40 stages though or whatever throughout the game, hence but they are short nonetheless. But they could have taken if we want 40, let's split it up into, you know, eight levels and be a little bit more creative and have a, you know, make them a little, like, if there was going to be ever like a remake or a remaster, which hope there isn't, that doesn't need one, but it's like you could take some of the bad things, which aren't really bad, but give it a little bit more oomph, give it a little bit more boing, and give players a reason to want to go back to it, or to, you know, want to make it a little bit more about exploring, of a platform explorer, instead of just going from left to right and there's no replay value whatsoever. I mean, the ending is just crap. I mean, it's really just a single screen. And then even the credits, It's like, thanks to our team. And it's like one screen and that's it. It's like, it's done. You know,
I really thought this game was going to incorporate the credit style introduction of all of the enemies, and they have their names and stats and stuff like that.
Right.
I thought this was going to do that, but they didn't even do that.
Yeah. They just made a decent platformer as cheap as they could, as far as presentation goes. So it works playing through it once. It's a good playthrough once. And then you can say you played it and never touch it again.
Yes. And okay. With that, that's the show. Paul, thanks for coming back to talk about this one. Yeah, at this point, yeah, you've got stuff to plug now. So plug away. Let people know where they can sit passenger with you on the internet.
Yeah, so like as of right now, you can find me uploading sparsely dash cam videos to OOFDA, and that's with an exclamation point, Wisconsin dash cam channel on YouTube. I don't have any social media links on there. I'm still on social media. All my accounts have different names. on Twitter, if you wish to find me there, I am at Melon Steve Husk. That's MelonSteveHusk. And you'll found me if you see a profile picture of if you see a picture of Mr. Musk in an actual melon. And then
what the fuck? Is that a garbage pail thing?
No, it's not. It's not.
Oh.
It's not at all. On Instagram, I'm at Paul_Michaels22. There is no real Facebook at all. So the Instagram and the Twitters that I used to plug before as Potation Rotation just have two different things going on. The Twitter thing is like a farce. I'm kind of like a dick and an asshole on Twitter on purpose. Instagram, I'll just post random pictures every now and then. It's nothing. I'm not promoting anything, but that's where you can find me. If you want to email me for whatever reason, you can still email me at potationrotation@gmail.com, but I only go there like once a month, so I'll probably never respond.
Of course, all those links are going to be in the show notes. And if you want more of this brotherly banter, you can go check out the other like 15 episodes that he's been on. Go dig up Retro Rankings. I was on there as well. So
yeah, there's still all my other stuff, all my past YouTube stuff, and the podcasts are still out there as well, forever immortalized in video game history.
The Library of Congress.
Yes.
Next week on the show. What's up, guys? Future Keith coming in here with a hot edit. Very hot. I got no headphones on. I don't know how loud I am. I don't even have my backdrop set up or anything. No kind of sound padding in this edit. But that is to say that I'm here to tell you that due to some scheduling conflicts with the original episode I announced here, it is being pushed off, and instead we're going back to Franchise Town, baby. It's Sonic the Hedgehog 3. Back to the end of the show. Thank you guys so much for checking out the show today. Take care of yourselves, and always remember, Oonga Boonga Furple Ooka Dickle Foopy.
I think that means it's always okay to hate video games.
Close. It's okay to like a video game. See you guys.
Toodles. Thank you. Fuck.